Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, I hope you're all doing well and welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today I have Jennifer Jang. She is the PR and Influencer Relations Manager of Glow Recipe, a brand that I love so much, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys are familiar with this beauty brand. So hi Jen, how are you?
Hey girl, how are you? Thank you for that amazing intro. I'm so excited to be on this podcast with you. I'm so excited to, you know, talk all things beauty, New York, and keep it as real as possible.
Yay, I love that. And I know I was telling you before this, I'm like, there's no planning. We're just gonna, I love doing this because honestly, I feel like I killed two birds with one stone. One being that I get to catch up with you, because the conversation is so real and, you know, unfiltered. And then two, I'm also recording. And hello, multitasking at its finest.
No, you really have this down pat.
So why don't we begin by you telling the listeners a little bit about who you are, what you do, and your background with New York City.
Yeah, of course. So I've pretty much been born and bred, raised in New York City. I'm a Queens girl through and through. I got my first taste of that, you know, that New York hustle when I went to high school at LaGuardia Arts, which is known as the Fame School. So if anyone has ever seen that movie Fame, it was based off my high school. So I got my first taste of seeing such creativity, all these emerging artists up and coming in New York City. And obviously in high school, it was very much like the movie. Like I would see people dancing and singing and playing their instruments in the cafeterias. We'd have dance offs. Like it was really that type of situation. Mm-hmm. So it was really great to, you know, grow up in that type of environment, being exposed to all these amazing artists and seeing people who are truly passionate about their craft. So, you know, being on the Upper West Side, I was seeing, you know, people in Fashion Week and all my friends booking gigs for, you know, theaters and modeling and all that stuff. So I think it was just a great environment for me to grow up in. And then obviously I went to college, still in New York as well. And when I first got my, you know, taste of beauty was right after college. I had initially started as an intern for a prestige luxury watch brand, actually. It was through Swatch Group. Mm-hmm. And I was the marketing PR intern for one of their most luxe brands called Breguet. And then after that, I was kind of looking for, you know, a new opportunity, something full time. And luckily, it was kind of a networking coincidence where my sister's old college acquaintance from Boston University happened to work at this brand called Shiseido. I'm sure you guys know
I
that
love Shiseido.
Well. Exactly. You know, it's a Japanese powerhouse, owns so many brands, has a great portfolio. So she was on the Shiseido and Clé de Peau Beauté team at that time as their social media manager, and they're looking for a coordinator. And, you know, all through college and, you know, even high school, I was really involved in my community. I was always doing event planning and, you know, being a very social, outgoing person, holding a lot of roles that made me really perfect for a PR-related job. So, you know, I landed that job as my first full-time salary position outside of college. And I was there for maybe 2.5 years. And having that as my first role, I learned a lot about corporate culture and, you know, a lot of key learnings there from seeing how they worked with all these different departments, all these different brands. And shortly after, I transitioned to Glow Recipe, which is in itself a very different approach. It's more of a startup indie brand. And, you know, it was like night and day, the difference. And I've been at Glow for about close to 2 years now as well. So it's been a really amazing journey. And I can't wait to delve a little bit deeper about that. And I'm glad a lot of people know the brand and, you know, hopefully we'll continue to support.
Yeah, no, I love that. So when you first came onto Glow Recipe, did your was your title always the PR and influencer manager, or did that progress?
Yeah, that definitely evolved. My initial role was coordinator. I joined right after being at Shiseido, which I was also a coordinator, and that's partly why I left. You know, I was there for 2.5 years, and I wasn't getting promoted or wasn't going up the food chain. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to look for a different opportunity where I can potentially grow faster and at a more rapid pace. Mm-hmm. So I started as coordinator at Glow Recipe as well. And then within under a year, I got promoted to manager, you know, partly due to a lot of internal changes, but really getting that opportunity to step up and, you know, show how I could rise above the occasion and work above my role and what it constituted. So within less than a year, actually, I got promoted to manager. So that's been since, I believe, August of last year, and I joined October of the year before. So yeah, it's definitely been a journey, and I've learned so much just from being part of this really rapid, fast-paced brand. And you know, I'm sure people who see us on social, we've grown so much since Glow Recipe Skincare was born in 2017, you know, where I think at like close to 700,000 followers in such a short time. And I think people just really resonate with the brand messaging, the story, the aesthetic. So I'm really excited and happy to be part of the Glow Recipe team.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too, because I know when we met up a while ago, I don't remember when, right, but like last year, like last, yeah, sure. Like last fall, I think we were talking about it, and I was saying, you know, honestly, I feel like timing is such a big role in a lot of people's careers and just like personal lives. And I remember being introduced to Glow Recipe and like had no idea what it was. And I honestly thought it was also a like targeted to like Generation Z. Just like, I don't know why I just like had that mindset. But then over time, like obviously I fell in love with the products. And like you said, you guys really, really as a startup brand built so much momentum, because as we all know, the first few years of any startup is so critical to, you know,
success.
Mm-hmm, putting them on the map.
Yeah.
And speaking of like social media and everything, like there are so many beauty brands now. So it's it's really hard to stand out, you know? So that has been great.
Yeah.
But why don't you tell me about, I guess, what are some misconceptions you think people have of one, the beauty industry, and two, being kind of like an influencer manager? There's, you know, influencers have such a bad rap. Like what is your I guess, experience with that, since you work with so many influencers?
Yeah, no, definitely. Just speaking really quickly on what you said before, I do feel like a lot of, you know, people feel like Glow Recipe is very like Gen Z, millennial focused. And, you know, that is one of our target demos, but I think it's really for any skincare enthusiast, anyone who's a really skincare savvy consumer, who's interested in knowing what goes in their products, interested in knowing what isn't in their products, you know. And I think consumers nowadays are so much more educated, and Glow Recipe is a really great content hub for people who want to learn. You know, we don't just spout, you know, get this product, you know, every launch, but we really deep dive into tips and tricks, application techniques, you know, deep dive into ingredient stories and stuff. So I think that's what people really appreciate about the brand, that we are able to offer this content and this product education in such a digestible, easy way without feeling overwhelming. And I think that's kind of what makes it really approachable to, you know, all ages, all demographics, all backgrounds. And then in terms of, you know, common misconceptions, I think a lot of people in general, when they hear PR, first of all, they think like, oh, she's fake. Like, I think that's the first thing people think. And just because the role is so much about your relationship, both with press and with influencers, you know, and it's a mutually beneficial relationship, which I think maybe sometimes comes across as if it's fake or if it's like, you know, very targeted toward a certain result. But I think at the end of the day, it just depends on how genuine the relationships are. You know, I have so many both press and influencer friends who have never asked me for anything, nor have I ever asked them for anything explicitly either. And it's just having a good camaraderie and having that relationship makes it so much easier to be able to share newness, share things that we're excited about, you know, even just for them to keep me up to date with what they're doing and their lives and stuff. You know, I like, there's a great group of people. I'm always like, oh my God, I saw that it was your birthday, like happy birthday. And I'll just shoot those off messages, You know, aside from it having to be work-related, I think it definitely starts off as like, oh, this is a working relationship, but you really make those connections over time and you really find out, you know, how organic and authentic it can be. I just remember, you know, a lot of people just thinking that PR means like you're fake or like, you know, you're just acting this way to get something from someone. And, you know, maybe other people are that way, but I just feel like I approach in a very friend, you know, based relationship. I'm never one to try to like get something from someone in a sneaky or underhanded way. It's just like not my vibe, but I'm sure there's reasons why people have that assumption, you know, had to have started from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our influencer programming too, you know, we are a young indie brand at Glow Recipe, and it's all about, like, I can't even say it enough, it's all about the authentic, organic relationships. And they have way more payoff than any paid collaboration ever would. Just if you find those people who love the brand, you know, with all of their heart, it's going to be the type of pool you really want to rely on when it does come to the point for, you know, partnerships and things like that. So I do think a common misconception is just like, with PR and influence in general, just like having that connotation of like using people or, you know, like just using people for your gain. And I just don't feel like that's the way I operate, but I think that's one of the biggest ones I hear.
I could not agree with you more because
right.
I think you know that I also like study PR, so I have a PR background, and
yeah.
I like to think that I like my network of friends, both in the mm-hmm. influencer world and like on the brand side, is all based off, you know, built, like you said, off of this like authentic relationship. And I'm all about relationships, like through and through.
Exactly.
And even when I meet people, you know, through an event, like how I connected with you, well, vice yeah. versa, because I know with us, it was like a lot of back and forth, like trying to make our meetings happen.
Yeah, I remember trying to reach out to you when I was still like a coordinator at Shiseido. And then once I joined Glow, I was like, hey, remember me? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, meet up for once.
But I'm the same way.
I'm glad it did. You mm-hmm. know, and like I said, it just takes reaching out and that very organically, like, oh, I just love what you do. Like, let's meet. I feel like we get along, you know, and it's not ever anything like, oh, I have, you know, this thing that I think you'd be perfect, whatever it that is. It's not that. It's just like, hey, I just want to meet you. You seem cool. And I do that a lot with people who are local influencer or press. Or I'm just like, hey, I love this story you did. Like, you want to get breakfast? Like, and that's really how I approach a lot of the connections I end up making in the industry, like with that organic approach. And I feel like you're the same way.
No, I love hearing that because I don't think people realize that. And I remember, like, I was getting some comments, I think, when I was starting out, and people were like, oh, like, you know so many people. Like, how do you know so many people? And I was like, well, mm-hmm. just, like, from influencers. And I would say, okay, the people that email you, and most of them, if not all of them, like, 85% are based in New York. I always say, like, do you ever follow up with them? Like, do you know, like, their face? And they'll always say no. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, just shoot them an email. Literally, make it super casual. And say like, hey, I would love to grab coffee. And sometimes you right. won't vibe with the person, and that's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I always go into it exactly what you said. I think a great tip and advice for everybody, whether you're in the, you know, social media industry or not, any industry, is to just, you know, make that initial email and like just reach out to people, because you just never know. And also exactly. go into it not wanting anything, because I don't even think you and I spoke anything to do with work. It was more maybe
I was just like, tell me about you. Like, what are you up to? Like, oh my God, you're flying with this airline. So cool.
Yeah.
Like, I wish, you know, like,
yeah.
it was just like vibing off projects we were up to with coming down the line, you know, even like dreams and aspirations. I remember at the time I was like, oh, I'm considering this, that, mm-hmm. and the other. And mm-hmm. you're saying like, oh, keep me posted on that. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted to be updated with you and stuff. And I feel like, out of that, you know, grew such an organic relationship where, like, I'm sure you and I would feel comfortable hitting each other up, like, hey, X, Y, Z, and the other. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God, of course.
And I feel like what you said before, too, I do have a question for you also, because I feel like, you know, influencers are kind of, you know, you're like your own celebrity, you know, and in a way, in your, you know, groups, in your environment, in New York, whatever it may be, like, your network of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you feel like there's always a pressure to, like, either be perfect or like always be nice or like never feel like you can ever be critical? You know, do you feel like it's a really sometimes like fine line of knowing when you can really fully be yourself, or you always feel like you need to be, you know, Marianne Yip to the world.
Yeah,
I think that's Marianne privately. You know what I mean? Like, where's that line for you?
I think that's a great question, and I love how you're flipping this script, but...
I learn about you too.
Let's yeah. Go. I mean, for full disclosure, I don't think I'm like a celebrity or anything. I think for me, everybody's, you know, public image, like their mm-hmm. followers follow them for a certain reason. And right. for me, I think going back again, being raised in New York, I have a very blunt personality and I just like come off, I don't want to say a bitch, but I say how I feel, but in mm-hmm. in a way where it's still respectable if I'm, you know, in disagreement with something. Right. So I think I do have a strong personality and I'm very just like outgoing, but I will mm-hmm. say that a lot of people who do meet me, like a common comment mm-hmm. I often get is always like, oh my God, you're so nice. Or like, like, oh my God, I didn't know you were so like such full of energy. I don't know. And so I think it's a little surprising, but I don't think that's based off of the image that I come off in social media. I think it's just the image that like they're projecting on mm-hmm. me.
Yeah, people see you, like people perceive you as, and that's something you can't control.
Exactly.
You can't control what someone thinks of you. You know, even with that too, I remember when I was in college, you know, in college, it's like you're learning, you're growing, you're finding what you're good at, but you know, you're in such a huge environment of people that you can meet every day. And even within my groups, and you know, like at the time in college, I was always like that bitch. I was always the one that, like, oh, I'm involved in this, that, and the other. I'm on top of my stuff. My grades are on point. I'm dancing. I was part of 5 million organizations, and I was always keeping a balance and, you know, really running that world for myself. Mm-hmm. And people always, I think, especially with women, like take someone who's assertive and who's goal-oriented mm-hmm. and like you said, like, you know, not a bitch, but I'm gonna tell it to you straight up if mm-hmm. that's not cool with me, right? Like they take that as someone who's really intimidating versus someone who's, you know, should be, I guess, seen in a way as like inspiring. You know, that person should make you want to push yourself mm-hmm. and I feel like even I was given that type of connotation, like, oh, I always thought you were so intimidating, but you're so nice. And mm-hmm. I'm like, why would you not assume I'm nice to be
right
nice, you know mm-hmm. just because all you see is me like crushing shit, like you just think that means I'm like what, like a man eater and like someone yeah. who's just like so aggressively goal oriented. I'm like, I don't, like for me that's not a negative connotation, but it was always, you know, the similar reaction. I'd be like, everyone would be like, oh my God, my first impression of you, I was so intimidated, and then I realized you're like so nice, and that just always would make me confused. That was I never knew whether to take that as a compliment or not, you know. It's like that very weird, in a way, backhanded compliment without people realizing it's a backhanded compliment. Mm-hmm. And I just remember saying, like, it just made me feel a type of way. And I think that totally resonates with what you were saying, too. It's like, it's not my, you know, job to create this perception of myself in your brain. You're going to perceive it how you want it. And that just reflects more on you than on me.
Right. But I will say, because I don't want people to get the wrong idea, is that also I mean, as a whatever influencer, I obviously have people that I admire as well. And I will say I've met people that I've looked up to and they were so rude and mean.
Yeah.
And I remember, my first incident with somebody that I approached during Fashion Week and they were just so rude. And I thought to myself, I would never like, you know, act that way towards somebody who approached me saying like, oh my God, I really admire you, you know, for this, and the other. And I took that experience and you know what I mean? So that's why whenever people approach me or any type of situation that I'm meeting somebody new, I'm definitely extremely nice, not in a fake way. I like genuinely mm-hmm. nice. And I think maybe that's why they're surprised. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Based off of other experiences that you might have. But I am, like, I try to be the nicest person because I feel like everybody goes through stuff and you just never know. Yeah, and that's...
You never know. And you never know when that person will cross your path again. You know, like...
100%.
It all comes down to, like, that karma going, you know, mm-hmm. being put around. Like, mm-hmm. you should just always be nice to everyone. Like, what's the harm in that? You know, like... Who knows if that person's, like, by chance, 10 years later is going to be, like, the investor in your company. Mm-hmm. Like, you just never know.
No,
I never like to put that ill vibe out there. You know, it doesn't hurt to be a nice person. And that's so sucky that, you know, with your experience. And I feel like I've heard so many people say, like, don't meet your idols or don't meet people you admire. Because, like, you never know how that will change your perception of them. And that's, like, super sucky that, you know, you had that experience.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to, I forgot, maybe a podcast or was reading a book, and they said something that when you meet somebody who's, like, higher up, whether from your eyes, whether that's a status perspective, a career, finance, whatever the case is, like you said, to never treat them as your superior, because once you do that, once you make them a quote-unquote celebrity, they get the vibe, like, they get that energy, and then they somehow, I don't know why, like, look down upon you. But if you treat them as your equal and you're not, like, fangirling, I mean, it's different if you, it's, like, literally, like, a celebrity, like, your favorite. Like, okay, if it's, like, Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm sorry, he's not my equal. Right. Like, I bow down to him. But you know what I'm saying? Like, once you treat that person and still acknowledge their success, but don't put them on this pedestal, automatically the playing field is level and the interaction, like, changes, you know? So when I heard that, I was like, wow, I'm going to apply that in my life. You know, still, you could still make compliments and say, you know, like what you were saying, like, I really like that article you wrote, and compliment what they have done, but not making it seem like, oh my God, this person is, you know, like, everything to me right now.
No, I totally feel that. And, you know, it's just a learning that you take with you with every, you know, social encounter you have. You know, some of them end badly, some of them are great, but it's just a learning. And that's literally, I feel like, what New York has really taught us, to really just, you know, everything life hits at you, you just gotta roll it off and keep going. That's like that New York hustle, you know?
100%. And speaking of the New York hustle, I want to ask you what keeps you up at night. And this can be what's currently happening in the world. We are recording this during the pandemic, or it can be anything. It can be literally, like, whatever you're comfortable sharing. So, and you can think, like, you can think big picture. It can be like social life, love, dating, anything. So, like, right now, what is stressing you out, girl?
Oh my God, girl, so many things are stressing me out. Like, my skin in quarantine is stressing me out.
Really? My skin is, like, living its best life right now.
No, it's just bananas that we're living through this right now. You know, this is something.
I don't think you heard me. I said my skin is, like, having its best.
And you would think, everyone thinks, like, oh, I'm at home, I have more time for my skincare. But for me, you know, I'm still working from home. So a lot of those hours, I'm, like, you know, stuck in front of a table, I'm on my laptop, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, like, I don't go outside, you know, I don't go out for anything unless it's a necessity. So if you think about it, my skin is exposed to the same recycled air of, like, our central, like, cooling unit.
You know,
air takes up dust, it takes up a lot of nasty things. And that's just, like, all my skin is, like, you know, getting into itself. And I don't know, my skin has been way more dry than usual. My freaking eczema is flaring up for no reason. And that usually happens when it's, like, hot summer months. And I'm like, I'm not hot inside. It's just very strange. I think my body was reacting very weirdly to being cooped up inside.
Right.
And then because of that, because there's such a comfort in just being able to access my, you know, my room, my bed, my XYZ with such a convenient distance, my sleep schedule has been so messed up.
I know.
When I tell you,
I know.
At 6 a.m. to wake up at 9 a.m. to start work. And then I work until 8 p.m. And then I'll take a nap because I can't bear to stay up. I'll take, like, a 2-hour nap, wake up at 10 p.m. And then that just messes up my whole sleep schedule all over again. Go back to sleep at 6 a.m. And that's literally been my sleep schedule for, like, 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I don't know why. That stresses me out. Staying up stresses me out. And then, obviously, when I'm out, I'm just, like, when I'm up, sorry, I just am, like, going down, like, a YouTube dark hole. I end up watching all 50 videos of, like, Drag Race or, like, beauty guru shit. Like, it's just too much. My brain is just overactively awake at nighttime, and I've always been a night owl anyway, but definitely this, like, quarantine situation has made it way worse. But, you know, on the day-to-day, I'm always thinking about, like, what I need to do work-wise and, you know, all that stuff, because we are such a big brand, and I am the only person on our PR and influencer team at the moment, so it's, like, a lot of responsibilities on me for both U.S. strategy and even our international markets and things like that. So it's just, you know, always being on top of my goal setting for the next day, But I mean, does it help when I'm like going to sleep at 6 a.m. and having like 2-3 hours before I have to get up?
Yeah. So first of all, I think when I'm like going back to the skin situation, I feel you on that because in the beginning I was very stressed, like the first few weeks of quarantine, and I can tell from my face. And I don't have eczema, but I have like what is it called? Sure, what is like the? Oh my god, why am I blanking out? Psoriasis? No. Wow, I'm blanking. What is like that other like rash call like from the cold?
Eczema, psoriasis.
I think it's psoriasis. No, rosacea. That's what it is.
Rosacea. Okay. Rosacea. No, it's like those
things. One of the skin problems. Like, right. My rosacea was acting up, and I usually don't, like you said, get it. I actually, I'm the opposite of you. I get that. It's triggered in the winter when it's, like, really cold. But anyways, and then I kind of calm myself down, but when I, and then my skin started to be like super clear. And I think for me, it's because I'm not wearing makeup, and I don't generally wear makeup a lot, but I'm like barely wearing makeup now. So my skin has been able to brave. So that's one. And then two, going back to your sleeping schedule, crazy dilemma. I think everybody's went through that. Cause I'm more of a morning person. And
Hell no.
Not me. But no, I used to wake up like prior to all this, like 7 or even like 6:30. But now my wake up time is around 8. But that happened to me. Like I went through this thing where I was like, oh my god, I started to sleep later and later and later. And then I thought to myself, okay, what is the point? I mean, okay, this is for me because you obviously still have a job, but like. I'm like, what is the point of waking up at 8 compared to like 9 or 10? Because isn't it better to have like less hours to kill in quarantine?
Oh my god. And that's such a different perspective too. Like, it's like so interesting. I've been seeing so many, you know, in my friends, my network, and I'm sure there's something you can speak to also. Like, what happens right now? You know, as like for you as like a content creator, what's your daily schedule looking like now? What are you trying to do to keep normalcy? You know, what does productive versus, you know, working your own pace mean, you know? Like, I feel like when we first got hit with quarantine, there's a lot of, you know, I feel like societal expectations of like, this is your time to be the most productive you've ever been in your life, you know? And for some people, I'm like, productivity is interpreted in many different ways. That might just mean needing more sleep because you need to care for yourself more, you know? That doesn't necessarily mean all this time to overwork yourself. And I feel like the kind of messaging has been more like, take it at your own pace. You know, every other people's expectations shouldn't be what you hold yourself accountable to. And, you know, with you as a content creator, how do you feel like you're maintaining normalcy? And, you know, a lot of your experience has been like doing events, meeting people, like a lot of those, you know, in real life contacts. Like, how are you dealing with it now?
So I think for me, my life hasn't been that much different in the sense that I've always worked from home and it's been like three to four years. So I think for somebody like you or other people who had like corporate office jobs, definitely that change is really drastic. So the only thing that has, well, two things that really have changed is the fact, like you said, I'm clearly not going into the, well, I'm in Brooklyn right now, so I'm not going into the city for events or meetings or any of that. So that has changed. My workload has totally been affected because so many brands, as you know, are putting so much halt to campaigns and just hesitancy. And I'm very considerate because if they're affected financially, I totally understand what they're budgeting. They would be more smart about how they're spending that. And then going in terms of content, I've switched and I've said this in my stories recently that I was going to do not a drastic change, but obviously my feed is going to be different. Like I'm not traveling as much. So I'm focusing more on like home content, but just like the simple things that I like instead of trying to, you know, create all this like crazy stuff. And the beauty, I mean, it's pro and con with having like a social media presence is that you're growing with it. And I say this time and time again, but I've had my account since 2011. I've never changed it. People don't know that. So it's been like 9 years in the making, and clearly I have evolved as a person. And when you evolve, your values change, your interests change, and my social media has always been a reflection of that. So yeah, I'm shifting towards a more like simple feed, but also I'm trying to be smart because one of my main categories is travel, and travel is evergreen. And I've always thought, I think a lot of people, influencers, can relate to this. When you go on trips or when things are happening in your life, you somewhat want it to be in real time. So let's say I'm in Aruba, I'm posting Aruba photos, and then let's say my next trip is to Qatar. Like, I don't want to be posting Aruba photos because I'm in Qatar. And my whole feed has always been, you know, very accurate in terms of, exactly. But then I realized, I don't know if you know Gary Vee, right? Yeah, so like I love him. He's so smart about everything that's to do with business and social media. And what I've learned from him is that you should always repurpose your content. And I'm definitely not doing that because I'm thinking about the last 2 years and how many trips I've taken, how many photos I've taken. And they're still so beautiful. And sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, that's not Instagram worthy. Or if you have like 10 photos that look the same, you only want to choose like maximum two or three. But now,
you have to like take into account that like of these almost 10 years you've been here, not everyone has been with you every step of the way. You know, so you have all of those new followers to cater to from the last X amount of time, and like it totally makes sense that you would, you know, repurpose things you already have, because those people would never have seen that from 5 years.
100%
That's like, that's a good point to make.
Yeah, and it's smart because if I took time, you know, to take those photos, like, why am I not giving it, like highlighting them? So that's what I'm doing. I'm just kind of repurposing everything. But I want to shift gears a little bit and just ask you, I'm not sure if you know, but this podcast, clearly, is called The City Confessions. A big part of why I started this podcast is because I'm always fascinated by people's stories. I think everybody has a story to tell. And I'm not looking for, like, you know, anything that's, like, oh, my God, like, dramatic. I think if somebody has lived, like, a very easy, beautiful life, that's fine as well. You know, everybody's life is different. But I also think everybody's story is important. So I wanted to ask you, like, what is your confession? And let me just, like, before you answer, say that there's no right or wrong, and you can share whatever, again, you're comfortable with. I just ask this because I think a lot of people carry something in them. And and I think another side is that whatever they're carrying, they also want to share it in a way. They just don't know how, or, I mean, I know I've done that. Like, I've had so many just little, you know, situations where I, like, decided to just put on the rug. And I think, I don't know, maybe growing older, I'm like, wow, like, that is something that needs to just, like, be released. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, what?
That's a good question.
Yeah, thanks. So, yeah, I mean, you could take the time to answer or think of anything. And, again, it can be, you don't have to, like, think, like, too hard, because some people think it's, like, oh, my God, I need to come up with a good confession.
No. I mean, I feel like I'm just going to be talking in a stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, born and bred in this city, learning, you know, and having so many people who have influenced me along the way, whether it be, you know, the iconic time I've had in high school, down to, like, you know, my working relationships, my personal, my love relationships, all that stuff. It's just been such a way to shape me to who I am now. And, you know, that's a very general thing to say, like, shape me to who I've been and where I'm going. But New York has taught me so much, and I feel like it's also shown me what I haven't fully appreciated either. You know, and I think this is very relevant to anyone who's been kind of like born and bred in New York. I think being in New York shows me more what I'm like missing, if that makes sense. So, for example, you know, that New York hustle, that mentality we were talking about before, right? It's always go, 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 no time for rest, gotta, you know, find the next step, the next move, the next, you know, accomplishment. And I feel like a lot of people from New York really base their worth, and, you know, me too, for a certain period of time, and maybe still now, you know, base their worth on the accomplishments that they've garnered, right? And, you know, those kind of accomplishments on paper are really impressive, but they don't really mean anything unless there's personal growth involved as well. And, you know, I feel like, you know, out of college, first job, major job, this fun beauty, you know, role, industry is so fun. All my girls are jealous of me, like all that stuff, right? That was really contributing to, you know, how I felt about myself and putting a lot of value and worth based off my external accomplishments. But I think being in New York, and especially in quarantine now, I've kind of been more open and receptive to what I need to work on as a person. You know, like, I've been thinking more and more, like, this is the time to strengthen my relationships that at my back when things were normal would be like, oh, like, we'll definitely catch food next time. And, you know, next time always ends up being coming like a year later. You know, that mm-hmm. type of cycle where mm-hmm. you put the busyness of New York over a lot of the personal growth that you have with yourself or with your friendships and with your love relationships too. I think now has been the perfect time to be like, hey, you know, I think I need to be like a better friend, or like, hey, I think I need to check in with these people more, mm-hmm. or like, hey, like, I need to appreciate New York more as all, like, for all that it has to offer. You know, like, yeah, I go out, I hang out with my girls, my friends, we can get drunk, we can have fun, you know, all those Friday nights that are, you know, memorable and unforgettable. But like, when, like, I honestly was talking to a few friends about this recently. I was like, when was the last time I like looked up at the sky? Mm-hmm. And I really could not come up with anything, like, or any moment in time that I could recall that. And I was like, when is the last time I just went to a park to sit? Mm-hmm. You know, like, or when did I have a picnic last? Like, when's the last time I went to an art gallery? You know, and some of my friends that have never been to an art gallery who've been born and raised in New York as well, you know, and I'm like, when was the last time I just walked and talked? You know, like, all those, you know, quote unquote little things that we take for granted, I've been thinking about more and more as I have the mental space to dwell on them. And it's kind of given me like a renewed purpose in a way that, you know, once things are more normal, I want to be able to pursue more of those quality moments versus the quantity of moments. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, talking to my friends, I was like, guys, like, why don't we try to take a class or a workshop or do this and that? You know, having fun and going out drinking is always going to be fun, right? But like, I was just kind of challenging my, you know, group and my network, like, let's try to find more quality time, you know, and more of those uplifting cultural, you know, poignant moments that will, you know, we'll remember past that drunken night or past that birthday party we went to. And I think that's something I've been like thinking about a lot. So I guess like my city confession is that, you know, I don't treat the city as much, like, I don't give it the credit that it deserves. And I need to find more ways to really, you know, see what it has to offer. I feel like I've not even scratched the surface of what it can give me.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's great that you have that realization. I think a big part of this whole quarantine is self-reflection, and I'm sure the majority of us are like gonna come out of this, one, being better people, and two, just looking at things that they have taken for granted and not doing that, mm-hmm. you know, and really appreciating the beauty around us and the people mm-hmm. that we have. And it's a blessing in disguise for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with a lot of these moments of, like, taking things for granted, you don't know until someone literally calls you out on it.
Like, yeah.
There's been so many times where my friends would have to come up to me saying, you've been a shitty friend in the past 3 months. And I'm like, huh? You know what I mean? Like, you never have that own kind of, like, self-reflection, because you never think about that. Mm-hmm. Because you're, like I said, you're always on the go. You're always like, what's next? Like, what can I do now? What can I do after this, et cetera? And it doesn't take, like, it takes someone, like, having to be upfront with you. Which is why, like, this time has been really interesting to be upfront with, like, myself and, you know, internal growth and all that stuff. So it's really interesting to, you know, think about.
Yeah, no, I agree. I want to take a moment right now to just acknowledge you as a person and as a friend and just one saying yes to being on this podcast, because I think...
I'm so happy to.
Like, you scheduling your time is... I value that, and I know that, you know, you have, like, it's during work hours, so I understand that you taking time out of your day means a lot to me. And again, I think a big part of why we vibe so well is definitely our, like, personalities and insight on life, and obviously our New York City, like, connection and background. But yeah, so I just wanted to take a moment now to just appreciate you taking time out of your day to come and talk with all of us.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that I was able to do this. You know, this is my first podcast, y'all. So it was definitely a great time to talk to you and, you know, connect in this way. And, you know, I'm just hoping that this is over soon so we can see each other.
I know. But I have two more questions before we actually wrap it up. So second to last is, what are you currently up to and what can people be on the lookout for, whether that's from Glow Recipe that you can share or just personal life? And since we don't know when we're gonna, you know, come out of this, let's just say for 2020, like, what are your personal goals or what are your professional goals and anything that, again, you can share?
No, that's a great question. So it's so funny too, being in quarantine, I've been more inclined to just like be fun, be creative. I've been playing with makeup a lot, which is really interesting because like everyone's like, I don't wear makeup anymore, but when I have the time, I like just love to experiment with some like fun looks, more color, and you know, things that I wasn't able to do before because of my busy schedule and the day to day. So I've really been trying to get more into makeup. I've been trying to get into TikTok, but like not really seriously trying to get into TikTok. Just to like, it's a great way to like browse and, I guess, I go into like an internet hole for like 5 hours, like not even joking, 5 hours. But I was thinking, I was like, oh, do I want to do TikTok? Like, I like, you know, like, I'm sure you know me, like, I love to dance. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really, you know, I'm all about that type of stuff, doing beauty stuff, like all that. But I don't know, like, you know, I've always contemplated, I'm like, oh, do I ever want to become a content creator? But I was like, this is too hard. Like, I don't want to do it. You know, and I'm like, it's just been fun to kind of experiment in that way, you know, putting out makeup looks, like exploring things on TikTok to kind of even just get a glimpse of like how it is for you, I'm sure, on a daily basis. But it's definitely been fun. Nothing I'm thinking of taking too seriously, of course, but I've really been loving just experimenting with like video and, you know, like I said, makeup looks and things like that. Coming down the line for Glow, we have some exciting new launches coming up second half of the year. You know, we're always trying to introduce like the newest, you know, most innovative formats, fruits, et cetera, et cetera. So we do have some newness in both the category and the fruit family as well coming down this year, something really soon in the next couple months and something a little bit later. So, you know, really excited to share, you know, that with you too, Marion, when it comes out. And then in 2020, honestly, quarantine done messed up a lot of my plans. Like, it's so funny, when we started going into it in April, that was like the time of so many like planned trips and, you know, all that stuff. For example, like my three year anniversary with my boyfriend was like the first weekend of quarantine, and we had planned to go to Boston just for like a weekend trip, no flying or anything, but obviously that was nixed. Mm-hmm. So I had a belated anniversary celebration. My birthday was in the beginning of May, so that I have a belated birthday celebration.
Happy belated.
I'll get out of this.
When is your birthday?
My birthday was May 6th, so beginning of May, Taurus baby all the way.
Oh my God, that's why I like you. Because my best friend is a Taurus.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I mean, Tauruses, I just, you know, like Tauruses among other Tauruses just like really fuck with each other. So I like love meeting like more Tauruses as well. And then lastly, I had my first big trip of the year that was planned for end of March, early April. That was like right in the middle of like, you know, the quarantine scare, so I had to cancel that trip. I had planned to go to Mexico, so ideally would love to reschedule that for sometime later in the year, but I think once people get out of quarantine, there's gonna be a lot of people going on vacation, so we'll see how
for sure.
Companies like that.
Amazing. I love hearing that, and yeah, we'll see what happens. There's going to be a lot of celebrations afterwards. I think it's due for so many people. Okay, so last question is, when do you feel most alive?
Most alive?
Mm-hmm.
Girl, I feel the most alive when I feel the most confident. And that's when I have, like, the makeup look, the like, the fit. When I'm just feeling, like, the best presentation is when I feel the most, like, alive, ready for anything, ready to take on the world. Like, nothing beats a woman who feels confident in herself, I think. And that for me is when I'm feeling really cute in the fit and when I'm feeling really cute in the mug. So I think that's especially when I feel the most alive, whether that's like just enjoying the day outside or dancing all night. It's just definitely the people you keep, but it all, you know, has to stem from inside of you. So that's definitely when I feel the most alive, when I feel the most confident, when I feel the most beautiful, is when I feel like I'm ready to take on anything.
Such a beautiful way to end this episode. On that note, I'm going to just leave it as that. And I hope you guys who have been listening really enjoyed this episode. And I will leave all of Jen's information below. So make sure to follow her and follow Thank Glow you. Recipe. And if you have any...
Like I said, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Can't wait to see this go up. And, you know, let me know if you ever need anything. Thanks so much to everyone for listening and tuning in.
You're so sweet. Yeah, so catch you guys in the next episode. Bye.